Hello, this is astrology Shelley Antine, and this is the second podcast for the week beginning Monday, September the 1st, and ending on Sunday, September the 7th. Here at the end of the week with two major experiences, so it would be a very long type of a podcast if I were to try to get it all in one. So your weekly astrology forecast and the shift of Mercury into Virgo are happening, and Saturn retrograding into Pisces in the first podcast. So here we are with the retrograde of Uranus in Gemini. It's the first thing that happens on Saturday the 6th. In the Eastern Daylight Time, Uranus retrogrades at 12:51 a.m. And so I have done Substack posts about this. If you're actually taking a look at those, then there is a very good piece on what's going on with the retrograde energy once we have it in Gemini. And also, what's going to happen with Uranus retrograding in Gemini is it's going to go back into Taurus. And this won't happen again for it, but this time it will, because it didn't get up to more than 2 degrees of Gemini when it retrograded. So on November 7th, it will retrograde into Taurus. And it will go direct it's actually 27 degrees of Taurus on February 3rd of 2026, and it will return to Gemini on April 25th of 2026. So we are revisiting during this time some of what occurred in the later part of Taurus. Uranus in Taurus was the beginning of all the geophysical upheavals, for one thing, because you've got this planet of sudden events and upheaval and change in the fixed Earth sign of Taurus. So we were going through that. It's just only increased as time went on, and we were also seeing major shifts and changes in our values, which is Taurus, and financial state and real estate. So all of those things, while we were busy trying to learn about the energy that is in all things, as I have mentioned several times, and as I mentioned quite a bit with Uranus in another air sign now in Gemini, the invisible realm of Aquarius is all about prana, chi, life energy, and the bringing of information through light. And so, you know, we are usually taught that we are separate from everything else in creation, and if you listen to Plato and Aristotle, we are at the top of the pyramid of worthiness in terms of life. But, you know, look around. Do you think that's really true? I mean, I think if you ever see the film My Octopus Teacher, you'll discover one of the most developed creatures on Earth. I think we were supposed to awaken to a time of great wisdom in our ancestors, our way back ancestors, that were living on the land and having very important relationships with the kingdoms that surrounded them, and also the cycles that were taking place. So they knew, and so did Native Americans in this country, until they still know, because they're, you know, closer in than our Celtic ancestors and some other nations, pre-Christian, etc., that there was this, you know, symbiotic relationship, and that the kingdoms actually communicate with us. As I mentioned in a Substack post about it's all in your mind, telepathy isn't just for people. You know, communication can be received and sent, and it is constantly. So anyway, you get a chance when Uranus does retrograde back into Taurus in November and goes direct and then re-enters Gemini on April 25th of next year, to start to really get your experiences of this, so that when we have the Gemini sweep, we will be able to utilize this knowledge in so many ways, particularly with our greatest power, which is our thought and the setting of intention and seeing and the visioning. We also have this wonderful, I call it the triumvirate of outer planet energies. It's unique. And Uranus in Gemini is trine, and it starts to do this, it's doing it now, but it starts to do it again when it gets up to about 4 degrees, I think it is, of Gemini in direct motion next time. It is trine Pluto in Aquarius, and both of these are sextile to Neptune in Aries. So this is a moment where you can open your mind and conceive of something. What would you want to see? What would you like to experience? This is the time to dream your dream and put the energy that it shall be. And so it is. You'll get that opportunity again in 2026. But, you know, you have it right now, even. And the retrograde will begin. And the retrograde planet is always internalized. And so, yes, you're reviewing all the downloads of new perceptions, new ideas, and, you know, the feeling of knowing, the intuitive energy, since Uranus went into Gemini in July, right? So reviewing these things and getting ready to review it again in Taurus, and then to move forward with the information when it's back in Gemini again. Okay? So those are the dates for those experiences. And so that's really what you need to know, is that you're an Aquarius, or you've got the house that has Aquarius on the cusp. When Uranus retrogrades, it's going to feel a little slower, you know. If you have the ascendant and the sun, it's a generalized slowdown. But for the issues of the house with Uranus on the cusp, that will be the area that feels also like it's slowing down, not necessarily as an obstacle, but for you to make some reviews and reconsiders, and maybe even just move into the ideas of what you can do with the things that you have learned and experienced. Okay? So, yes. And of course, when it retrogrades into Taurus, you still have the chart ruler of the sun and ascendant still in generalized retrograde, And then the house with Taurus on it will be the realm, the place where some review is going to take place. Okay? So this Saturday, and of course, as it's a retrograding planet, it is going to be slowing down. It's already slowing down. And it will stop before it changes motion, right? So that will be basically Friday, but maybe a couple of days earlier because it is so slow moving. Yes. And so then the other major event comes the next day, Sunday. And this is our last lunar eclipse, the 2025 of the two that we get. And this one is a full lunar eclipse, so total. And it is at 15 degrees of Pisces coming in on Sunday the 7th at 2:09 p.m. Eastern time. So right away, if you know where the sun is during the day at 2:09 p.m., you'll know you're not going to see the moon. The moon is opposite the sun in Virgo. So we have the experience of the sun. And I have on the Substack post, I'm going to be showing the image of the shadow of the eclipses. And of course, if you've heard me speak on eclipses before, you know that the area that has the greatest amount of shadow or experience is where most of the energy of this eclipse is going. And this lunar eclipse is about, all lunar eclipses are about, a major shift or change in relationships. And I have been mentioning for, you know, a little bit of time that you should be looking at your various relationship experiences to see, while this was approaching, where you might have a change. And then after that, a new beginning. A change doesn't have to be bad, but it can be an ending. And that doesn't have to be bad if whatever kind of relationship it is isn't good for you or for the other person or both. And so, you know, this is interesting in that we had it, the first lunar eclipse. And if you remember back then, it was all over the countries that started having difficulty, and it ended some relationships, the United States and Canada and Mexico and Greenland were involved in the shadow. And, you know, I don't see any mending taking place right now, but it seems like for these other places other than the U.S., it's made them stronger. And so, wow. And so we can see what might happen down the road in another time frame. But this time, the shadow is over. Well, the closest thing to us, and it won't be very much, you won't see the full thing, is the very, very eastern tip of South America. Okay? And there'll be a little bit of shadow, also some experience of this when you are in Africa or Europe, Scandinavia, and some parts of the Middle East, Greece and stuff. But the major area of shadow is on, and oh, if you go to the other side, some of it is in New Zealand, New South Wales, and also the eastern part of Australia. But we've got a lot of Russia and more Middle East and India. And then we have that sort of Southeast Asia energies of those islands. And then from the middle of Australia to the west. That is, and then Antarctica. Now, Antarctica has been doing some interesting things. And we did have eclipse energy that was below the tip of South America going into Antarctica. That's where they had that 8-point something earthquake. Okay, so here's another part of Antarctica, much larger part of Antarctica, that is under the areas of, you know, you've got some of Western, extreme Western Africa, Madagascar, and, you know, it's like an arch that comes all the way up through the Soviet Union and all those areas below. So, yes, you won't see it if you're in the U.S. And if you are in, you know, the very pale shadow area, it won't be as big of an event as it is going to be in this place of greatest shadow. And it is definitely potent. The moon is in Pisces, which is our north node. It's like actually trying to find its way into a more feeling nature in terms of relationship, into more spirituality, more compassion, more creativity, and sensitivity. The sun in Virgo is our north node, I'm sorry, our south node, and this is where we are overanalyzing or overperfecting or feeling, you know, sort of both of these signs can feel like victims and, you know, the seeking of perfection and the giving of service. We're not really living up to some of our abilities to be of good service to others. And even to ourselves, I mean, we're losing the perfections of certain regulations on water and air and food, you know, and inspection of consumer products. I mean, what's that? You know, that's letting us down, really, and allowing whoever to do whatever we want. I don't know about that. You know, I think I'd be happier knowing that somebody's taking care of places that are creating, you know, products that I go to the store to buy, whether it's food or other kinds of products. I'd like them to be good, wouldn't you? So it is kind of in our country. And then, of course, we have the issue of the tariff. You know, where certain things that are healthy for us, certain Virgo energy and work is also going to be affected and starting to show the effect. So this is relationship, and this is relationship to not just a person, but to a group, to a situation, and to an issue. So it comes to a peak at a full moon always, and it comes to a major peak at an eclipsed moon, which is going to cause that ending and new beginning at some point, right? So, and we may see really powerfully when we look at China. I forgot China. It's next to India, and Russia's above it, you know. That is an area, and some of the Middle East and the islands, there's a lot of dispute going on over the islands that are south of China and north of Australia. So we're going to be seeing some of that pressurized energy there much more than we are in the U.S., but we'll see it, and we'll see it in our lives because, you know, it's got to be felt. you cannot escape the eclipse. And so, like, if you know where the eclipse energy is falling in your chart, your birth chart, you'll understand where this moon is taking some energy and doing something with it, right? All you have to do is know your chart. And, you know, you can actually get a free chart done. I think it's astro.com or AstroTheme. But these places will allow you to put in your birth information, and you may not understand the reading of it, and I am going to look at the chart of the lunar eclipse set for Washington, D.C., to see where it's falling for the government of the United States. But, you know, if you know the polarity where the houses are, then you'll have a better idea also of where these relationships are that you're going to be dealing with. And so, going to Washington, we're seeing that, you know, it's at 2:09 p.m., so the sun has passed from the overhead position, and the rising planet now is Mars in Libra. People are fighting, okay? And we've seen it. There's a lot of resistance. There are lawsuits galore. And that's Mars in Libra. And that's also fighting for peace, right? Fighting for peace, fighting for truth, fighting for justice. So this is going to be affecting relationships quite a bit, right? And so here we are. And the sun is in the ninth house of also foreign countries. And so we're dealing with that. And then the moon is in communications. And the moon is moving towards the conjunction to the north node. And so this is, it's interesting, the aura of this eclipse, schools, elementary schools and classes. We've already had victims. In, I think it was a Catholic school that was having a mass, you know. And so Moon in Pisces can be that. And we hopefully have compassion still. and all of us may be able to feel that this is, you know, a horrible thing wherever it happens when innocent people are attacked and killed by someone who's not okay. You know, you don't do that if you're okay. And they have found that that person actually was a woman, so the moon is here. And she was clearly exhibiting on social media and everything that she was not okay. So will something be done? Will regulations summon Virgo, well, regulations and order. And the ninth house is an overriding kind of a law. Come in to help us or not. I don't know. But that's the focal points. Schools, education, communications are where the moon is. And the moon is moving also toward that retrograde Saturn in Pisces and also the Centaur Nessus is here. It's a nice little cluster. Neptune is retrograde, but it's still at 1 degree of Aries. So there's a lot of, when you look at everything that's involved there, the feelings of this relationship are about something having to come to a point of completion. And, you know, the Nessus is the buck stops here. Okay. So we'll see. We'll see what relationships are going to be affected. We do have Jupiter in Cancer in positive aspect, both the sun and moon, at 19 degrees of Cancer in the seventh house of laws, the laws of man, the choices of, you know, the partners in life, and not just marriage partners or, you know, romantic partners, but people that you would sign a contract with, significant others, they call it sometimes. And Jupiter is looking out for the females right now in Cancer, ruled by the moon, right? So that's enshrined still to the asteroid duet that's been hanging out together, Juno, women's rights and equality and status, and marriage issues, and Vesta, the priestess who keeps the hearth, keeps the home fires burning, and has a very deep connection to something so important. And this, in the sign of Scorpio, is, you know, about power and control. Venus is still in Leo, and she is moving into sextile with Mars in Libra. She's in the eighth house of shared resources, and so we're looking at how we could come to some agreements in our relationships about that area. And this is also the area of the benefits that we get with insurance and also other shared resources, but loans. And, you know, you are in the issue of conflict now about some of these resources and, you know, how will they be viewing this. We've already seen cuts and more cuts, but there are people whose lives depend on some of these resources that are eighth house resources, you know, so taxes and loans and insurance and inheritance as well are shared. And then it's just other people's values. You know, sometimes we can't understand them, right? Sometimes we are against other people's values. Venus in Leo can get very dramatic about these things. And Venus in Leo, fixed sign, in the house of Scorpio, the fixed sign, that's about making a choice that I am committing to. Libra chooses, and Scorpio makes the commitment. That's what Jeff Green, evolutionary astrologer, said. Scorpio is actually the sign of the marriage. The choice of the partner is Libra. I'll sign the paper, but now, how committed am I to this experience? Yeah, interesting. So, Ceres is in Aries, retrograding. She's a little bit further away from Eris now in her retrograde moment. But she is close enough to be a trine to Venus in Leo. So she is in the fourth house, and she is one of the planets of the Divine Mother, nurturer, provider of food. We see a lot of things associated with war right now and famine. She's concerned about that. She's trying to work with Venus in Leo to provide resources so people won't be starving because of this condition of war, Aries. So it's so interesting. All the things in the outer world are easily seen when you look at a chart like this. But, you know, for your own experience of this, you have to know where things are falling. Where's 15 degrees of Pisces? What's that doing in your chart? You know, how is that going to be inspiring some shift? And so if you need a reading, you know, you can get in touch with me at my website. And my name is my website. So this is what I felt. It's not everything. You can never say everything. That's one of the things I love about astrology. One of the reasons I'm in this for as long as I've been, like over 50 years, is because there's always something more. And so we will see other things come up during the time. And of course, an eclipse has a 6-month period of an orb of influence. But usually, if you have a connect to these planets in the chart, you will be feeling it pretty fast in your own personal life. We will be seeing it in our outer world. Okay, so that's podcast 2. And in podcast 1, you're receiving the weekly astrology forecast and the information about Saturn and Mercury, because they're both making shifts that week. Okay, say goodbye for now.